Welcome to Cut and Thrust, your podcast for the bloody and sometimes bizarre journey through the Middle Ages. Whether it's dark battles, questionable hygiene, or hair-raising rulers, here you'll get history as it really was, raw and unfiltered. So grab your sword, put on your helmet, and let's dive into the wild world of the past.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Battle Merchant Podcast. I'm Hendrik.
And I'm Carmen. Today's going to be really exciting because we're talking about armor, but not in the way you might expect.
Exactly. We are going to look at how medieval armor stacks up in a direct comparison with modern protective equipment, actually put to the test with real experiments.
The fundamental question really is, how effective was this armor back then? We see it in movies, in museums, but did it actually do its job?
That's the core of it. And to find out, various test scenarios were conducted. One with arrows, so classic medieval weapons against medieval armor. And then the interesting part, modern firearms against both types of armor.
So against both the historical replicas and modern body armor with Kevlar and ceramic plates. That's what makes it truly comparable.
And that's exactly what makes this so fascinating. You can finally see whether these plate armors from the 15th century were really as good as we imagine, or whether that's, well, whether our romanticized view is a bit exaggerated.
What's especially interesting for me, as someone involved in the reenactment scene, these tests give us a real foundation. Not just assumptions, but measurable results.
That's true, because in HEMA, or historical fencing, there's often debate about which armor protected against which weapons
and could actually stop them. That's where a direct test like this is enormously helpful. You don't just see the theory, but the actual results on the material.
For the arrow tests, by the way, a longbow with over 140 pounds of draw weight was used. That's enormous. A real war bow, like the ones used on medieval battlefields.
140 pounds? That's significantly more than most modern sport bows. There's some serious energy behind that.
Absolutely. And the target was a replica of a breastplate from the early 15th century. Steel, with padding underneath and chainmail at the flexible joints. The complete package, just as a knight would have worn it.
The layering system was the secret. Not one thick plate, but multiple layers of different materials, each absorbing part of the energy.
And that exact principle
is found in modern body armor too. There you also have Kevlar layers plus ceramic plates. The basic concept has essentially stayed the same.
That's one of the most fascinating aspects. The materials have completely changed, but the principle, layers that distribute and absorb energy.
And what about the firearm tests? What was used there?
Two rifles were used. An AR-15 platform with 5.56 NATO ammunition and a bolt-action rifle with .308 Winchester, a significantly larger caliber.
These are calibers that are standard with military and police forces today. No comparison to what existed in the Middle Ages.
Right. And that's what makes the comparison so revealing. We see how armor performed against the weapons of its time, and what happens when you confront it with technology developed centuries later.
It also shows this eternal arms race between offense and defense. Every new weapon leads to new protective concepts, and vice versa.
The results of these comparisons are also partly surprising, both in the arrow tests and with the firearms. It turns out, for example, that medieval armor took its job very seriously.
And that modern protective equipment builds on centuries-old knowledge. With different materials, but the same fundamental principles.
Let's take a closer look at the first test. The setup was really well thought out. A breastplate from the early 15th century, steel, with the complete equipment underneath.
So not just the plate alone, but the full setup. Underneath, a padded arming doublet and chainmail at the exposed areas. The armpits, neck, skirt. and behind it even a piece of meat that served as a heart simulation.
That's exactly how a knight would have been equipped back then. And then, as already mentioned, this extremely powerful longbow with over 140 pounds of draw weight was used.
Just think about that. Modern recurve sport bows are usually around 40 to 50 pounds, and even that is beyond most archers. 140 pounds is a completely different league.
Among the finds from the Mary Rose, that was an English warship from the 16th century, bows with draw weights of mostly over 100 pounds were found, some even up to 185 pounds. The archers back then trained for years just to be able to draw such weapons.
In England, archery practice was even mandatory on Sundays for a time. They knew exactly what they had in their longbowmen. Crécy, Agincourt, those battles were decided by archers.
And the range, up to 200 meters, 10 arrows per minute from a skilled archer. It was like a rain of arrows on the battlefield.
Which brings us to the crucial question. What happens when such a projectile hits plate armor?
The results were... well, mixed is probably the best word. Some of the arrows bounced off. The steel did its job. But some hits penetrated.
At specific spots?
Yes, especially at the weak points. The armpit, for example.
Where the plates meet. There's less material there, more mobility required.
And that's exactly where an arrow went through. It left a small, somewhat square hole, typical of bodkin points, those narrow armor-piercing arrows. It penetrated up to the shoulder.
Not fatal, but definitely incapacitating. By the way, if you're interested in tests like these, feel free to leave a like and subscribe to the channel. It helps us cover more topics like this.
What impressed me most was actually the layering system. The combination of steel, chainmail and padding. Each layer takes on a different task.
The steel deflects and distributes the force. The chainmail protects the gaps where there are no plates. And the linen absorbs energy, cushions the impact.
The blog post mentions that the layers absorbed most of the energy. The wearer would probably have survived, injured but alive.
There's this idea that an arrow could knock down an armored man, but you have to be careful with that. Physically, it's rather questionable. The energy isn't enough to actually knock someone to the ground.
Right, an arrow simply doesn't have enough momentum to actually knock over an armored person. The force
is concentrated on a smaller area. That's the difference. That's why it penetrates, but it doesn't knock you down.
But what the tests clearly show, the armor was damn effective for its time. Not perfect protection, but the difference between taking a hit with armor versus without was life-saving.
And the weak spots were known. Archers deliberately aimed for armpits, visors, joints. The battle between offense and defense was already a race back then.
The arrowheads evolved. The armor became thicker, the angles steeper to deflect better. Constant optimization on both sides.
The question is, what happens when you expose modern protective equipment to the same longbow?
And that was tested as well. Kevlar and ceramic against medieval arrows. An interesting comparison.
Now it gets interesting. The same longbow, the same draw weight, but this time against modern protective equipment. Kevlar and ceramic plates.
And the result?
The modern armor did stop the arrow, but with significant damage to the plate. It depends a lot. Depending on the arrowhead and plate type, the outcome can vary considerably.
The energy deformed the armor, but didn't penetrate it. That's impressive when you consider we're talking about a war bow here.
What many people don't know, Kevlar works completely differently than you might think. It's made of synthetic aramid fibers, highly strong polymer chains. And they don't simply stop a projectile, they catch it.
What do you mean?
The fibers stretch on impact. This stretching distributes the kinetic energy over a much larger area. Instead of a point impact, you get distributed pressure.
That explains why Kevlar alone isn't enough against rifle ammunition. The energy is too high, the velocity too great.
Exactly. For slower projectiles, pistol ammunition for example, soft Kevlar is sufficient. But for rifles you need...
the ceramic plate in front. It shatters the projectile on impact, destroys its shape. Only then can the Kevlar absorb the remaining energy.
It's the interplay that makes it work. Each layer has its role.
And that brings us back to a central point we've already touched on. This layering principle. Different materials that together accomplish more than any single one is simply not new.
You mean the gambeson?
Yes, exactly that. Think about it. A medieval gambeson was also nothing more than multiple layers of linen or wool with padding in between. The fibers stretched on impact, the energy was distributed.
The materials are completely different. Polymer versus natural fabric, but the principle is identical. The knights understood this centuries ago.
Steel on the outside deflects and distributes. Chainmail protects the gaps. Gambeson absorbs. And today, ceramic destroys. Kevlar distributes. Trauma pads cushion.
The only difference is the speed that the system has to deal with. An arrow flies at maybe 60 meters per second. A rifle bullet, 800 to 900 meters per second.
15 times faster. And yet, the same fundamental principle works. Distribute energy over area, slow it down layer by layer.
What the tests also showed, the arrow was deflected by the edges of the ceramic plate. That's reminiscent of the curved plate armor that let hits glide to the side.
They did that too. The shape of the armor was part of the protection.
Modern ballistic plates are often slightly curved, not just for wearing comfort. The geometry plays a role in deflection.
It's fascinating how today's engineers ultimately arrive at the same solutions as the armorers of the Middle Ages. Different materials, different problem, but the same physics.
The question, of course, and this is the next logical step, is how these two systems fare against modern firearms. The longbow was a fair test for medieval armor, but what happens when you pit steel from the 15th century against an AR-15?
That's where the difference becomes really clear. The physics stays the same, but the energies are in a completely different dimension. Now let's come to the test many have been waiting for. Modern firearms against both types of armor. As mentioned, the rifles used were the AR-15 and the more powerful bolt-action rifle.
These aren't exotic calibers. 5.56 NATO is standard with many armed forces worldwide, and the larger 7.62mm is used for precision rifles and heavy machine guns.
And that's exactly what makes the test so meaningful. We're talking about ammunition that's actually in use, not some extreme examples.
The medieval armor first?
It didn't stand a chance. Both calibers effortlessly punched through the steel. Gaping holes, bullet fragments partially lodged. But most of the energy went straight through.
That's, well, not surprising when you consider the physics. A rifle bullet has a muzzle velocity of 800 to 900 meters per second. The steel from the 15th century was designed for weapons that perhaps reached
60 meters per second. An arrow. The energy of a rifle bullet is orders of magnitude higher.
Kinetic energy increases with the square of velocity. If you increase the velocity tenfold, you have 100 times more energy.
And you can see that in the result. The medieval armor, which worked perfectly well against arrows and swords, against modern ammunition is no more than, how should I put it, an obstacle that briefly slows things down.
Historically, this was the beginning of the end for heavy armor. As firearms spread, heavy armor came under increasing pressure, though the decline stretched over centuries.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor. Feeling curious? Then head over to battlemerchant.com. They've got all sorts of medieval stuff, from costumes to armor and loads more. Totally worth a look.
In the 16th century, armorers still tried to make thicker plates, so-called bulletproof armor, marked with proof marks.
Proof marks?
The smith would shoot at the finished armor and leave the dent as proof that it could withstand a hit. These armors became significantly heavier, still wearable for cavalry, but increasingly impractical for foot soldiers.
A classic arms race. The weapons got better, the armor had to keep up, until at some point it no longer made sense.
And now the modern body armor. The results here were impressive.
The 5.56 mm first.
Was stopped. The ceramic plate stopped the bullet. The ceramic shattered in the process, it essentially sacrifices itself, and the Kevlar layers behind it deformed significantly but held.
Against a projectile hitting at over 900 meters per second.
That's the crucial point. Kevlar alone couldn't have done that. The soft fibers can't stop a rifle bullet. The energy is too concentrated, the velocity too high.
But the combination
makes all the difference. The ceramic is extremely hard and brittle. On impact, it shatters along with the bullet. The projectile is fragmented, its shape destroyed.
And only then can the Kevlar absorb the remaining energy. The fragments are slower, spread out, have blunt edges.
The larger 7.62 mm round caused more damage. The plate was heavily deformed, almost destroyed, but it still held.
The wearer would probably have suffered severe bruising, maybe broken ribs, but they would be alive.
That's also the design principle of modern body armor. It's not about surviving a hit without a trace, it's about surviving.
One question that comes up. After a hit like that, the plate is unusable, right?
Absolutely. The ceramic is broken, the protective capability at that spot is severely reduced. After a hit, the plate has to be inspected and usually replaced. Multi-hit capability is limited depending on the plate type and distance between hits.
Which closes the historical loop. Medieval armor could be repaired and hammered back into shape. Modern ceramic plates are consumables.
Different technology, different philosophy. But the fundamental principle, layers that absorb energy, that remains.
What impresses me most about these tests is the consistency of the development. Medieval armor was excellent against the weapons of its time. But as soon as weapons technology changes, everything becomes obsolete.
That's the eternal arms race. A smith develops better steel, so someone else develops a better point. Plate armor becomes tighter, so longbows become stronger. And then firearms arrive.
And the whole system collapses. Centuries of armor development displaced over several generations.
Although the fundamental principles have remained remarkably stable, this parallel between the medieval gambeson and modern Kevlar layers, different materials but the same idea, distribute energy over area, slow it down layer by layer.
Today's engineers are essentially solving the same problem as the armorer 600 years ago. They ask themselves, how do I stop something coming at me with high energy?
And the answer is always, not with a single barrier, but with a system. Multiple materials working together. Each layer handles part of the job.
For the reenactment scene, by the way, this knowledge is worth its weight in gold. If you understand why historical armor was constructed that way, then you also understand
how to wear it properly and why the gambeson wasn't optional underwear but part of the system.
Exactly. Plate armor without padding underneath is only half as effective. The layering principle was completely clear to people back then, even if they couldn't express it in physics formulas.
What the tests also show, we shouldn't underestimate historical equipment. Yes, plate armor doesn't stand a chance against modern rifles, but that was never its job.
Against the weapons it was designed for, it worked. The knight who limped off the battlefield with an arrow in his shoulder survived. Without armor, that hit could have been fatal. With armor, he survived.
And that brings us to the philosophical question:
what comes next? Weapons keep getting better. Protective equipment has to keep up.
Ceramic plates stop rifle ammunition today. But what if the ammunition evolves? Armor-piercing rounds? Higher velocities?
Materials researchers are working on graphene composites, on liquid armor that hardens on impact. The arms race continues, with means that a medieval smith could never have imagined.
But the fundamental principle? He would have understood it immediately.
Yes, in the end, it's always the same game. Offense versus defense. Ever since humans have used tools.
And that's exactly what makes this story so fascinating. It's not just technology. It's human engineering ingenuity across centuries.
And with that, we've reached the end of this episode. If you found the topic interesting, check out battlemerchant.com. There you'll find not only armor and equipment, but also many more fascinating articles on historical topics in the blog.
Today we've seen how protective equipment has evolved over the centuries, from steel and linen to Kevlar and ceramic. And yet, the fundamental ideas have remained.
Thank you very much for listening. Until next time.
Take care.
And so we ride towards the end of this episode. Keep your sword sharp and your mugs full. We'll catch you in the next one.